Well, you'll be delighted to know that we're talking about failure today. See, the gospel is good news, and the gospel is bad news. It's bad news before it's good news. Does that make sense? The gospel is bad news before it's good news. Bad news. You see, all of us, everybody here, in some way, you failed. All of us, everybody here, in some way, you failed. All of you but me. Well, no, I'm here. Including me. Including you. Sometimes the failure is of our own doing. Sometimes we share a failure with others. Sometimes a venture fails because, well, we stood on principles of value, and in reality, it was no failure at all. Sometimes we fail because we made choices and those choices hurt ourselves and others. Still, the truth remains, we all, to one degree or another, fail. It's important to know how to respond to failure, how to let go of failure, and how to move on from failure. But if you deny the reality of failure, you will court disaster. We live in a world that demands success, don't we? I struggle with it, and I imagine you do as well. We're taught to hide our failures. Or if we recognize a failure, what's the first thing we learn as a child? Well, blame somebody else for the failure, right? There's got to be somebody else at fault here. Yeah. But really, if we're going to speak honestly and we're going to be truthful about the world we live in and about ourselves, we have to acknowledge that all of us, in one way or another, have failed. We have to come to terms with this and the consequences. And we've got to find the strength we need in order to move on from that which we have failed in. And I want to share with you today that I really sense that Paul sees failure as a kind of sacrament. You know what a sacrament is? It's something that's holy, right? We typically speak of sacraments as being a means of grace. I think failure is a means of grace. Baptism is a means of grace. The Holy Communion, a means of grace. Those are the only two sacraments we recognize in our Christian tradition. But through acts that are offered as an experience of God's grace, our failures are sacraments. Are they not? We recognize the need for God's grace in our lives. I want to talk about failure as something that happens because we offer it to God and receive in return God's wonderful gift of mercy that is a gift that sets us free even from the failure. Now, there's some gifts found in Paul's words to the Corinthians. We read a few minutes ago. My guess is you've heard sermons regarding Paul's thorn in the flesh. Personally, I'm glad we don't know. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. It allows us to substitute our own thorns into Paul's words. Isn't that great? Today, let's imagine that Paul's thorn was the guilt of failure. Let's listen to his experience and perhaps find in this a gift of discovery. One of the first gifts that came to us is this failure as a gift of humanity. Through our failure is the freedom to recognize that we are a part of humanity, that we're part of the human race. And in the human race, every single one of us, in some way or another, is going to fail at something or sometime. In his writings, Paul went so far as to call himself the chief of sinners. Isn't that amazing? I have sinned, and I can't stop sinning, even though I've tried. He knew his failures. And though we all fail, I think far too often we fail to acknowledge those failures in our life, at least to the degree that we should. There are those who refuse to acknowledge their failures at all. Have you met them? I think some of you have. And they always appear to be slick and inauthentic and sometimes even judgmental of others. And then there are those who use the phrase, well, I'm only human. Have you met them? And they don't seem to be bothered by their failure at all. In fact, they embrace it. It's okay for me to fail. I'm only human. So why try? And they don't want to be held accountable for their failures or their reckless behavior at all. And then there are those who have never been able to admit, I'm only human. Perhaps their parents or their faith community didn't allow them to fail, didn't allow them to make any kind of mistakes, and if they did fail, they were showered with so much shame that they were left with no other choice but than to live without trying to admit failure of any kind. They're trying to rise above their own humanity. What a tragic way to grow up. What a damaging way to try to continue to live. For those who've been able to come face to face with their failure, to embrace their humanity, most often what we find is an open-heartedness, a compassion about them that isn't possible without the failure. Having known failure themselves, they become more open-hearted, more compassionate, more loving and kind to others. Isn't that amazing? Do you see the sacrament in this? God knows we're human. God's not surprised by the mistakes that we've made. God wants to take those mistakes and use them to help others. For when we've tasted the bitter wine of defeat, failure, perhaps even the embarrassment of it all, we're better able to identify with those around us. I know I have had enough failure in my life to know this. And the identification that comes with it. If you've been through a divorce, you know what I mean. Insufferable grief, depth of pain, those presently going through a divorce. Well, I feel that I can extend the grace and understanding they need. If you failed in a career or a business, you can offer support and encouragement to others who failed in similar ways. If you fought the battle with drugs or alcohol, you can empower others who have to face the same struggle in ways that nobody else can. Nobody else understands. Not quite like the one who has failed. Only those who admit their failures can help heal others. Henry Nouwen talks about these people. He calls them wounded healers. Oh, isn't that a beautiful term? Wounded healer. Isn't that beautiful? You become a wounded healer. In your wounds, you find ways to give healing to others. Only wounded healers can carry the healing balms of God to a broken world. In acknowledging our failures, we are set free to join the human race and become healers to one another. failures are a gift of community. You know, when we come face to face with our own failures, not only are we free to accept the grace of God and our own humanity, but we also have opportunity to realize, perhaps for the first time, our need for community. Folks, we need each other, and we need to recognize that we don't come here, all of us, as perfect individuals. All of us have our failings. But we need each other to support, to care, to encourage, to pray, to lift up. Now, when we find a failure, or we think we find one, we can talk about that failure to others if we choose. That sort of empowers us, doesn't it? Is that the way of community? And is that the way of the church? One writer put it this way: when we cannot live with and own up to our own failures, we limit the intimacy in our lives. We limit the love for one another. How many times have you heard somebody tell of some great accomplishment and then felt closer to them? Anybody here heard somebody talk about their great accomplishment and then felt closer to them? This means yes, this means no. You all are looking at me like you haven't woken up yet. Or maybe some of you are sleeping. That's all right. You're here. That's right. Have you ever encountered that kind of situation where you heard somebody talk about how wonderful they were and then felt so close to them? Wow, we have so much in common. On the other hand, have you ever had someone tell you about a failure in their life, and as a result of that conversation, you felt much closer to them? Yeah, I see some heads bobbing this way. Isn't that amazing? How community and connectedness is gained in the sharing of our mutual failures. I'm human too, and I struggle as well. And you feel a lot closer, don't you, when you have those conversations? In our scripture reading this morning, Paul begins by reminding us that nothing is to be gained by tooting your own horn. Community and a sense of connectedness surely will not be gained. There's no false humility with Paul. He doesn't say, oh, I'm nothing because I'm one big failure, I can't do anything right. He says, if I chose to boast, I could. I have a lot to boast about. But I'm not going to boast. And I'm not going to focus on my successes. In fact, let my words and my actions speak for themselves. I won't provide you a list of all the good deeds I do. Boasting and self-centeredness is destructive in the community and intimacy. And in most often cases, as I have experienced it, it's more of a reaction. A defensive reaction from somebody who feels that they're being attacked. Paul speaks of the successes of others. I love this about Paul. He says, you know, what I will do is I'll tell you about my friends. Man, I have some great friends. There's some great people in my life. And if I'm going to boast, I'm not going to boast about me. I'm going to boast about them and how wonderful they are. Isn't that cool? As for himself, Paul said, you know what I'm going to boast about me? Well, my weakness. You see, I struggle with things, and I don't have it all together. But in my weakness, God really shines through. That's where I sense God the most. And so I can talk to you about my weakness, And I can share with you my failure, and probably we'll have a sense of intimacy and understanding and connectedness that we wouldn't have otherwise. And this is what happens in community when you share your failures. It creates a bond with one another. And maybe we should try this with someone. I can see you're all afraid. I've done this in the past, and I thought about doing it today. Turn to someone and tell them about your greatest failure. Our visitors are cringing. They're thinking, oh dear. But maybe do it at least once a week. Meet with a group of people. Then share some of what you failed in. Maybe once a day. You know, I really messed up. I had an opportunity and I didn't take it today. Or, you know, I think I probably could have handled this differently. Do it for the sake of relationship building with somebody you care about. Don't do it in the name of false humility or for the sake of beating yourself up. Some of you beat yourself up so badly, you may need to go with it as a little exercise. And those of us who perhaps think too highly of ourselves, well, we can help those who beat themselves up all the time. Go easy on each other. Try it around your dinner table with your family. You want to get closer? It's a good way. This need to admit failure for the sake of community is one of the reasons we sometimes participate in corporate prayers of confession. We need to admit and need to hear that all of us fail, even in our personal relationships. Our confession, our apology is very important. It restores intimacy. Failing and sharing those failures can bring about community and intimacy. Eugene O'Neill said, "We're born broken, we live by mending, and the grace of God is our glue." I love that. We're born broken, we live by mending, and the grace of God is our glue. And grace, a full awareness of God's forgiveness and restoration, it's perhaps the greatest gift failure can bring to our lives. You know, when you come face to face with your greatest failures, you open the door for grace to come and let it live deeply within you. And through failure, we learn, perhaps for the first time, what it means to believe in grace, don't we? The grace of others and the grace of God. Paul prayed over and over and over again for God to remove the thorn in his flesh, his weakness. And God's response was what? Remember? My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And failure can be a means through which grace comes flooding into our lives. And isn't that a sacrament? One writer said the inability to admit failure robs us of the chance to learn. You know, we've got to be willing to make mistakes. We've got to be willing to own our mistakes in order to learn from them. There's no joy, folks, in being a perfectionist. I've got news for you. You'll never get it right. We learn and we grow by trying. We learn by failing, by receiving correction and grace, and then trying again. And we're in this complicated process of successes and failures all of the time. If we hadn't failed at certain points of our lives, even the greatest failures, we wouldn't have the opportunity to be as wise and as gracious as we are as a result of those failures. We all have our failures. Parenting errors. Anybody have parenting errors? Few, yes. Wrong choices. Anybody made a bad choice? Career mistakes. Yeah, I've had some people tell me I made one. I know what that's like. And sometimes I wonder. Maybe I did. But we are who we are. And we learn, don't we? In our world, we don't find or feel free to acknowledge failure. We really don't. And because of that, I think we're really missing out on something. What it means to be human. We fail to allow God to do God's great work of grace in the midst of our failures. You know, when I was a child, my dad taught me this important lesson. He gave me an assignment. It was a task that I didn't feel that I was up to, but I took it on. And I failed miserably. I was embarrassed to tell him. You see, these hands that God gave me, they're good for basically a couple of things. One of them is to hold a fork. But they're not real good, and I'm not particularly good at any kind of thing that involves mechanics. And some of you are shaking your head. My wife is like, yes. Can you fix this? Oh, I can fix it, all right. Give me a shot. It won't take long. It's fixed. Oh, me. And I was working on my car. My dad said, it's easy. Here's a manual. Here are the tools. You can do it. And I tried. That car sat there for about 3 weeks. And my dad said, what's wrong with this car out here? Didn't you fix the... Oh, yeah. I fixed it. Yeah, I don't think it'll ever run again. I was so embarrassed. My dad could fix anything. He was those kind of people. Anything that needed done, he could do it. And I always thought that I was the biggest failure because I wasn't like him in that way. Isn't that something? Finally, when we got to that place where I had to own up, I told my dad, well, I tried, but I really messed it up. I'm sorry. And he gave me a great gift. You know what he did? This is something I learned from my dad. He laughed. Oh, he said, you don't have to worry about that. Not at all. And I got grace, even in the midst of failure. And don't we all want for our parents to think that we've succeeded? And we struggle with that. My dad set me free early. What is it in your life that's keeping you from discovering the fullness of God's grace? It's okay. So you failed. It's okay. You're human. You've got a story to tell. Something to share with others who have failed too. Welcome to Colonial Avenue Baptist Church. You'll fit right in. Welcome to the family of God. you'll fit right in. And you'll find the real and true and powerful meaning of God's grace. And folks, let me tell you, that's what it's all about. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you that our failure becomes a source of strength, your strength. We can live out of your strength. Our failures sometimes bring difficult consequences, but what's most important is that we live in light of our failures, knowing that you have given us the grace that we need. And so we praise you, we confess before you, and we understand now, God, that we're a part of the family. Thank you for the community that you give us, for the love that you offer, and the acceptance that you give. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.